Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. As Christians who study the Bible, we tend to gain a lot of knowledge from what we read. If we didn't have much knowledge of what was written in the Bible, we shouldn't expect it strange if others questioned our faith. In his first letter, Peter writes that we need to be ready to always give an answer when asked to explain why we believe what we believe. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In order to respond to questions regarding why we believe what we believe, we need to have knowledge, because without knowledge, all we could say is something like, I don't know. And that would not be convincing at all. If we could provide no basis for what we believe, others could look at us as being foolish. Knowledge goes back to the Garden of Eden, where in the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Even though it seems desirous for us to know good and evil, God did not desire man to partake of that tree, and as a result for doing so, drove mankind out of the garden to protect the tree of life. Genesis 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Some may think it strange that God would not want mankind to have the knowledge of good and evil, knowing good and evil as God knew good and evil. The difference between God and man is God is able to discern good from evil, rejecting all forms of evil, and mankind typically embraces evil along with the good. Knowledge is something we can acquire through diligent effort, and it is also a gift from God. Some people tend to be very strong in certain areas. Some people understand money, while others understand law, and sometimes that knowledge is a combination of diligent effort and a gift. In the United States, schools acknowledge very intelligent students by having them participate in the Gifted and Talented program. Essentially, what the schools are acknowledging is that these students have intelligence for innate reasons, what we would consider to be God-given. When Solomon became king of Israel, God appeared to Solomon, and Solomon asked God to fulfill his promise to David, his father, to establish Israel as the wealthy superpower of its day, and also asked for wisdom and knowledge. God then acknowledged Solomon's request, and in addition to wisdom and knowledge, granted Solomon incredible wealth and honor. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. There is no disputing Solomon had knowledge and wisdom along with the wealth and honor. When Solomon aged, his wives turned his heart away from God, and Solomon began worshiping their gods. This was evil in the sight of God, and as a punishment, the kingdom would be divided, with only the smaller part of the tribes remaining loyal to the throne of David. Solomon's life is an example for us that we can have incredible knowledge and wisdom and not apply that wisdom and knowledge correctly, because Solomon did evil in the sight of God. 1 Kings 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all the strange wives which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, but had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of thy hand of thy son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Solomon rejected the knowledge of God. And in Hosea, we are told that God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Sometimes we think that lack of knowledge means no exposure to the knowledge of God. But in Hosea, lack of knowledge is linked to rejecting knowledge of God, much like Solomon rejected knowledge of God by worshiping the gods of his wives. Like Solomon, the rejection that is written in Hosea involves whoredom, which spiritually references false gods. God's people are destroyed for rejecting the knowledge of God and following after strange gods. Hosea 4, verse 4. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough, and they shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Having a respectful awe of God is the beginning of knowledge. That's what we are told in Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We're told in Proverbs that if we are wise and prudent, knowledge is something we seek and obtain. Proverbs 18, verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. During the end time, Daniel writes that the world will be a very busy place, with movement of people and expansion of knowledge. There is no indication that the increase in knowledge is an increase in the knowledge of God, just an increase in secular knowledge. It seems as secular knowledge increases, the knowledge of God decreases. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. In his second letter, Peter also writes about this future time. He tells the reader that it is our responsibility to be found to be spotless and without blame, and that we must grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that we must avoid being led astray with the error of the wicked. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Isaiah, in a prophecy of the Messiah, writes that the Messiah would have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah links an awesome respect of God with knowledge, just like what we read earlier in Proverbs. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding, in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. In Malachi, we read a list of complaints by God about the priesthood. Much of Malachi encompasses this list of complaints and delves into the hypocrisy of the priesthood. God specifically reminds the priests that they should keep knowledge and the law of God at their mouths. God's complaint to the priesthood of Malachi's time was that they had departed from this and caused many to stumble at the law because they corrupted what they were to do. Knowledge is not an excuse to do away with the law of God or an excuse to do away with God. But hypocrisy of the priesthood of Malachi's time caused many people to do exactly this. In the modern era, those who claim to be part of the ministry today cannot allow this hypocrisy to creep into their teachings. Malachi 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to the heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. but ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. The hypocrisy that Malachi wrote about was evident during the time of Jesus, who had his differences with the Pharisees, who insisted all follow ceremonial hand washing, and then lambasted Jesus when he did not complete ceremonial hand washing before dinner. I'm a big fan of eating with clean hands, but what the Pharisees needed to see went far beyond hand washing. Jesus responded by collectively calling Pharisees hypocrites. Luke 11, verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and Passover judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. A religious lawyer, one who could argue and debate scripture, responded by saying Jesus had dishonored all of the religious people who were there for dinner. Jesus then responded to that charge, telling the lawyer that they turned the word of God into an incredible burden, though they found ways to exempt themselves from that burden. He also charged that these religious lawyers had taken away the key of knowledge. Instead of making the knowledge of God easier to access, they had made knowledge of God secretive, something only for the religious elite to understand. We don't often think of religious people as taking away religious understanding, but that is what Jesus said. Today's ministry cannot take away and lock up the Word of God. The Word of God must be available to all. By the way, when Jesus brought up these charges against the scribes and Pharisees, they hated Jesus and actively sought how they might destroy him. Luke 11, verse 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. And he said, Woe unto you, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and Pharisees began to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Knowledge is translated from a few different Greek words, and one of those words is gnosis, Strong's Greek word 1108. In one instance, gnosis is translated as science in the King James Version. That can leave the reader with an assumption that science is always at odds with God, when that is not what the original Greek means. Sometimes religious knowledge stands in opposition to God, such as when this religious knowledge is based on erroneous thoughts. And these erroneous thoughts have caused religious people to err from the faith. Remember, Solomon was not perfect before God, as he erred from the faith in the worship of his wives' foreign gods. And the nation paid heavily for Solomon's error. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul writes of the last and perilous days. He described the people of these days in many ways, including that they are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These are people who study the Bible and never arrive at the truth of what is written in the Bible. These people are described as having a form of godliness. To the casual observer, they appear to be very religious, probably as much as the scribes and Pharisees looked religious in the time of Jesus. And yet everything about them internally shows a character and spirit far removed from God. Paul tells us to avoid these people. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul, when writing to the Corinthians, compares knowledge to prophecy, faith, and love, and then tells the reader that without love, these are all meaningless. We tend to think about knowledge as being compartmentalized, sort of like the books on a shelf. And yet Paul shows that in order for knowledge, faith, and prophecy to have meaning in our lives, in order for knowledge, faith, and prophecy to have context in our spiritual lives, these must be based on love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. James is more direct with knowledge, writing that if we are wise and have knowledge of the truth of God, we will follow up what we say with what we do, not to show off, but out of meekness, reaffirming what we know to do, seeking peace in all we do. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. From where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Going back to Paul, when he was writing about animals offered to idols, Paul explained that we all have knowledge and then cautioned the reader that knowledge causes us to have an inflated self-image, contrasting that to love, showing that love gives us the basis to build up other people. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Paul wrote that knowledge can give a person an inflated self-image. Among the churches of Revelation, it was the church of the Laodiceans that had an inflated self-image, who saw themselves as being rich, increased with goods, and having need of nothing, not realizing that spiritually they were in need of everything. Maybe the Laodiceans are a church where knowledge abounds, but as Paul hinted at in 1 Corinthians 8, lacking love. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. The idea of a Christian completely misunderstanding their spiritual reality reminds me of an old Bloom County comic strip that was written decades ago, just about the time home computers were a novelty. In one particular strip, the computer can be seen strutting and dancing around, talking about how it, as an electronic device, has immortal life. That is, until it took a step too far and unplugged from its power source. Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit are the power source of our spiritual lives. And like that computer from Bloom County, all we need to do is to take one step too far removed from God to be reminded of how mortal we are. Paul pleaded with the Colossians to do what was expected of a Christian, to be found worthy of God, being fruitful in good works, and to be increasing our knowledge of God. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. After reading many of the verses we have looked at today, some may come to the conclusion that knowledge is evil. Knowledge of and by itself is not evil. Paul writes that the Holy Spirit can bring knowledge to a person as a spiritual gift among many spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and that selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have made all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. In a second letter, Peter affirms this, listing knowledge as one of the spiritual items we add to our spiritual repertoire after faith and virtue. Peter writes that spiritual love, charity, is added in the final place of our spiritual repertoire, affirming Paul's concept that charity is greater than knowledge. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowledge is important in our spiritual development, but what does knowledge require of us? It requires us to be focused in awe of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the teachings of God, while also requiring us to understand that as important as knowledge is, love towards others is how we use the knowledge we have been given. If all we do is see ourselves as being full of knowledge and in need of nothing, we are declaring ourselves to be in the mindset of the Church of the Laodiceans. Let's have knowledge in awe of God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Let's remember the teachings of God, and let us use the knowledge we have been given through the Holy Spirit in love towards others. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.